Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you join with us each and every day as we face the issues. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's God's truth book, John 8:31 and 32. The Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made, "Thy word is truth." And I say this to us, to our listening audience, each and every day. It is the truth of the Word of God that is indelibly solid without any equivocation. In fact, in Psalms 117 and verse 2, the scripture says the truth of the Lord endures forever. It is the truth of the Lord that we can depend on. And as we've been talking up all week, we've talked about asking the question, who is Jesus Christ? Who is he? Who is Jesus? Someone said, and may I quote, cannot tell you who said it. Someone said, either Jesus is man, a myth, or he is the Messiah. Another statement was, Jesus Christ is either a liar, a lunatic, or he is Lord. But either one, he is the 100% God, man. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the truth that we need to seek. And when we look for truth, may I say to you, the only source book for real truth is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is the truth that stands. It is the truth that does not change. It is the truth that is not bifurcated in any fashion. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And ladies and gentlemen, that's my challenge each and every day. But according to the secularist George Orwell, Orwell, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, made this statement, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we've drifted from the truth long enough in America that multitudes do not recognize the truth. And when we come to the celebration of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the celebration of Christmas, the first Christmas found at the birth of Jesus, when it comes to the truth of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, when it comes to the truth of what Christmas is all about, no other source book is needed than the Word of God, the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, as we used to sing in Vacation Bible School less than 100 years ago. But ladies and gentlemen, we have a multitude of people today that have the philosophy that everybody can have his own opinion. You can have your own opinion, but you can't create your own truth. Truth is truth. A half-truth or a partial truth is a whole lie. And we need to go back to listening to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, stand on the truth, and be willing to stand on it, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff They can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the homeowner brand and the professional brand, landscape lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and the 295 Beltway. There's a 165-foot flagpole, a benchmark, an identifier. That flagpole has the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. Base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does placing in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Christmas. You ever pondered the term Christmas and what it connotes, what it's about? It's the celebration of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's the question that must be asked. Who is Jesus? Multitudes today celebrate Christmas without ever asking the question. Multitudes today celebrate Christmas just as a secular holiday. Multitudes today celebrate Christmas just simply saying that Jesus was a good teacher, that he was a good prophet, but not realizing and recognizing who Jesus really is. I've shared this article before. I'll give a brief blurb of it. The headline says, "Who do Americans say Jesus is?" The question, the article starts out, that question, "Who do you say that I am?" echoes down the millennia to today. Ultimately, every person will answer in his lifetime, whether directly or indirectly. We can dodge, we can weave, we can ignore, or run in the other direction. But the question remains, who is Jesus? And I dwell on that because I'm vitally concerned about where we are in America. It's bad enough to watch the cesspool called the political agenda today. It's bad enough to watch how everything has gone awry in the political sector. It's bad enough to watch the decline in morals and ethics and values in our nation. But as we celebrate this Christmas, may I say to you, we need to focus on what the Bible says in relationship to who Jesus Christ is. Notwithstanding that statement, this article reads, a new survey reveals that 52% of American adults believe that Jesus was a great teacher and nothing more. This article continues, almost a third of evangelicals, that's 30%, agree that Jesus was merely a great teacher. Now listen, let me break this down for us, as they call it on the news. As we look at the survey and this statement, 52% of all American adults, that's over half, believe that Jesus was nothing more than a great teacher. Now, that's appalling. That is devastating. That is, I think, ladies and gentlemen, my personal opinion, that is the reason we find the decline and the decay in morals and ethics and values in our great nation, is because so few value the Word of God as answering the question, who is Jesus Christ? If Jesus is demoted, if Jesus is degraded, if Jesus is dissed, if Jesus is disbelieved as being God come in the flesh, then, ladies and gentlemen, how can we expect anything more than a plummet of morals and ethics and values in our great nation? I believe it's time we recognize who Jesus Christ really is. This article states that 30%, not just 52% of American adults, believe that he was simply a great teacher. But ladies and gentlemen, 30% of evangelicals, listen, what does that mean? Evangelicals talking about those that we call Christians. It's cross-denominational lines. It's not just Baptist, not just Methodist, Presbyterian. It is all denominations. lumped together called evangelicals. And according to this research, 30% agreed that Jesus was merely a great teacher. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we need to recognize who Jesus is. As we celebrate this marvelous, wonderful opportunity to recognize and to reflect back on Jesus' first coming, I believe we need to be in unison, especially as Christians. I'm not going to call us evangelicals. I don't even like the term. There's so many that are blended together today that you have a Duke's mixture, a soup of theology, rather than it being the conservative biblical theological persuasion of who Jesus Christ is. You could ask 1,000 Christians, you could ask 1,000 pastors, who is Jesus? And you got a whole host of answers. He's a good prophet. He's a good teacher. He's a holy man. He is a good example for us to live by. But ladies and gentlemen, none of those are sufficient. Jesus Christ is God come into flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ is nothing more or nothing less than 100% God and 100% man. And so as we celebrate Christmas, I'm wanting our focus to be on who Jesus Christ really is. Back a number of years ago, in fact, now it's probably been 10, 12 years ago, there was a group of so-called theologians headed up by an individual that was named Dr. Robert Price. They had what they called the Jesus Seminars. And over about a 10-year period of time, I believe I'm correct on the number, over about a period of 10 years, they would meet once a year, spend about a month, and together they would have dialogue, discussion, and would review all of Scripture in every place that Jesus spoke and what he said and what the Scripture said in relationship to it. The conclusion of that 10-year Jesus seminar that was carried out by Dr. Robert Price, don't know if the man's living or dead today, certainly based on his record, he was not a blood-bought, Bible-saved, born-again person. But after several years of meeting and the analysis of the Scripture, the conclusion was, as Dr. Price stated it, listen, the conclusion was, and stated by Dr. Price himself, Jesus is simply a mythical deity. Jesus is simply a mythical deity. And whether it is openly confessed in that fashion today or not, whether it is openly stated as a mythical deity, I believe multitudes of Americans, multitudes of Christians, multitudes of pastors simply believe that without stating it. And how do we know that they believe that? Because of the way they preach and teach and what is said. One of the things, and you've heard me say before, if you want to know if an organization, a religious organization, is a cult or a denomination is a cult, or if it is a, quote, Christian cult, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnessism, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, ask the question, who is Jesus Christ? And if they give you an answer, he's a good teacher, he's a good example, he's a good prophet, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that is the first prima facie evidence that you're dealing with a person that's in a cult. You can call it a Christian cult or otherwise. But if there's any answer other than the fact that Jesus Christ is God come into flesh, it is a cult. Has nothing to do with biblical Christianity. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, so often that is what we see taking place in our great nation today, is the falling away. It is the determination that somehow, some way, we don't have to believe that Jesus Christ is God come into flesh. Perhaps you recall, ladies and gentlemen, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 and following, and I'll read that in just a moment, but let me remind you lest I forget. Perhaps you want to join the dialogue, the discussion today. Perhaps you'd like to ask your question about who is Jesus. Perhaps you'd like to share with the listening audience today your position and your belief on who is Jesus. It's a good opportunity to be a witness to a listening audience today. Christmas, 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 a time of reflection, a time of recognition, a time of renewal in our faith and trust in who the Bible says Jesus Christ really is. And that was the question that Jesus asked his disciples in Matthew 16. The Scripture reads this way, beginning with verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He, that's Jesus, verse 15, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the question is, not a matter of what others say, it's not a matter of what they antagonists and those that disbelieve in the Word of God, it's not a matter of what they say, it's not a matter of what a lost church member or a lost pastor might say, it's a matter of what does the Bible say, what do you say? It boils down to a personal decision and choice. And I'm calling you today to make that personal decision and choice. I'm calling on you with a very serious question. Who do you say that Jesus Christ really is? In this same text, in Matthew 16, verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said unto him, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the balance of that unit of thought, the foundation of the church is built upon not Peter, the first pope. That's a false figment of an imagination hallucinating in some fashion to say that. Yet the whole denomination is built around the fact that Peter was the first pope and the church was built on Peter. That's not what the scripture says in the balance of the unit of thought. It was on Peter's profession of his faith in who Jesus Christ is. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ today is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Bible says very clearly in that text, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It is on Peter's profession of faith in who Jesus Christ is that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ stands today. So how is it possible for a church, any denomination, to disbelieve who Jesus Christ is and still call it a Christian denomination? Whom do you say that I am? We cannot depend on, we can't stand on, or believe what others may say in relationship to who Jesus is. It boils down to the question that Jesus himself asked, whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a world today where there's chaos and confusion and conflict, dissension, disbelief. That vast disbelief, ladies and gentlemen, I believe is fundamentally founded on a disbelief of who Jesus Christ really is, a rejection of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, in Luke's gospel, the first chapter, what we call the announcement of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is the announcement of the birth, the announcement, if you please, of the first Christmas celebration. And as we celebrate Christmas, I want us to recall what the scriptures say. What does the Word of God tell us? Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is God come into flesh. He is God come down from heaven and to shroud himself in the human flesh, take upon himself the form of a man. When Mary was told that she would give birth to a son, and his name would be called Jesus. Listen to this text, verse 26, chapter 1, Luke's gospel. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name is Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled. Ladies and gentlemen, when she saw the angel, when the angel spoke, made that profound statement that you're highly blessed of the Lord, and the announcement was made that she was going to have a son, and she's a virgin, the scripture says that she was troubled. The word trouble means she was complex. She was thinking about the complexity of it. She was confused. She was trying to reason out in her mind. Listen, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Verse 31 is the verse I want to bring to our attention. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, when that announcement was made to Mary, that she, as a virgin, that she was going to bear a son and call his name Jesus, that is a profound statement that should be indelibly implanted in our minds to understand as we celebrate Christmas, right now, as we celebrate Christmas, this Christmas time, this Christmas season, we're celebrating the announcement of the birth of Jesus and the arrival of Jesus Christ on planet Earth, if you will, where God came down from heaven, took upon himself the form, that's found in Philippians 2, 5 through 11, took upon himself the form of man. That word form is the word morphe, the outward shell. You go into a department store, go into the ladies' department, a men's department, and you find a mannequin standing there. It's made, at one time they were made. Now they're way out, far-fetched, ultra-modern figures and shapes. But initially the mannequins were made in a woman's shop that looked like a woman. Mannequin was made to look like a man dressed with a man's suit being displayed for sale. That's Jesus. When God came down to this earth, he took upon himself the form, the morphe, the outward shell, the mannequin, the outward look, the outward manifestation of humanity. But it did not take away, did not diminish, did not in any way undermine his deity. There's some that are today teaching from the pulpits, teaching that Jesus Christ was divine as long as he was in heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ came from God to earth to exegete, to manifest, to show forth who God is. John chapter 1, verse 18. But Jesus Christ was 100% deity, did not shed any of his deity by taking upon himself the form of man. To take upon, as in Philippians 2, 5 through 11, is an addition, not a diminishing. It's an addition, not a subtraction. So, ladies and gentlemen, when Mary, the Virgin Mary, was told that she would have a son, she would call his name Jesus. It's my opinion that the multitude want to avoid accountability to God. Therefore, they're denying that Jesus Christ is God. You think about that for a moment. If Jesus Christ is not God, you don't have to worry about it, think about it, consider the celebration of Christmas as the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to consider and recognize or celebrate the Christmas season as the birth of Jesus Christ, God come in the flesh. In the scripture, in Colossians 2:9, it tells us that in Jesus dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We believe in the triunity of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And in Jesus Christ, you find the fullness that is all of God in Jesus. I don't know about you, but it should cause us to celebrate with great joy and anticipation and celebration of who Jesus Christ really is. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a war against God. Those that want to secularize Christmas, those that want to refuse to have the colorful tinsels on the trees and in the windows and the lights, and city after city after city in America, each and every year, another part of Christmas is banned, rejected, refused. Multitudes of the cities today, towns today, no longer put up the beautiful Christmas tree with all of the lights and the tinsel on the tree because it represents Christmas. And they say that you cannot be focused on one denomination or one religion. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a war against God. That's really all it is. Today, I just printed out an article. It said lawmakers launched an attack on Chick-fil-A's right to heed famous biblical commandments. Dateline, December the 20th, this year. The article reads this way. The New York legislature has launched a bill aimed at forcing Chick-fil-A outlets at the state's rest stops to cancel the company's long-time practice of closing on Sundays. The state awarded spots on the popular fast food outlet to open counter outlets at some of its rest stops on the New York Thoroughway, knowing full well ahead of time that the counters would be closed on Sunday in accordance with the Chick-fil-A's policy. The policy has been in place since the founding in Hapeville, Georgia, in 1946. Chick-fil-A's policy states that the company is closed on Sunday to allow operators and their team members to enjoy a day of rest, but with their families and loved ones, be with their families and loved ones and worship as they choose. Chick-fil-A was awarded 10 locations as part of the remodeling of the Thoroughway's 27 rest stops. But left-wing activists, the article states further in it, that it's the Democrat activists in New York have agitated against the award of the locations because Chick-fil-A is run by a Christian family. And as a result of it, the Christian family that operates Chick-fil-A, also this article claims and says, are anti-LGBTQ. This article reads, New York Democrats are more interested in attacking Chick-fil-A for its religious beliefs. Is anyone openly observing the divinely inspired instructions of the Holy Bible now that's in the crosshairs of God haters, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what it is. It's God haters. God haters that are denying today the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, rejecting today the wonderful celebrations. In fact, you find when the announcement of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in his first advent was made to the shepherds in the field watching their flocks by night. In Luke chapter 2, verse 10, the scripture says very clearly, the announcement was made, said it was good news that would bring great joy to all people. Ladies and gentlemen, the good news is, let me repeat it, the record is not stuck. Good news is today that Jesus Christ is born. And the scripture says it should bring joy to all people. But yet you have the God haters in America. You have those that are the God deniers, those that are the ones that want to repel, reject, refuse, and denigrate anything that's called Christianity. And as a result of that, Christians and the celebration of Christmas are being attacked each and every year. Ladies and gentlemen, what we find that is really the root cause, the root problem, the root animus. When you study the scripture, you find that Jesus Christ came into the world and he was virgin born. And ladies and gentlemen, the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is perhaps the most rejected doctrine of all of the scripture. The most rejected doctrine of all the scripture is the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the naysayers, you have the antagonists, you have the atheists, you have the agnostics, you have those that are simply Bible deniers, those that want to say that Jesus was simply a mythical myth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the virgin birth that causes us to celebrate today the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the virgin birth that the angel Gabriel announced to Mary. It's the virgin birth. In fact, in chapter 1 of Luke's gospel, verse 33 and verse 34 and 35, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The virgin Mary had never had a sexual intercourse with a male, and she knew that. And she was saying to the angel, how is it possible that I can bear a son? How is it possible that I will have a son and name him Jesus? Verse 35 and following, the angel Gabriel explains the virgin birth. We're going to talk about that further right after the top of the hour news break. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We're going to be coming right back as we continue our thought today. Who is Jesus Christ? As we celebrate Christmas, we need to know who we are celebrating and why we're celebrating him. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Christmas in the Holy Land, a subdued affair this year, the Gaza War looming in the background. A Christmas Eve service at the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem was one of the few observances that went off as usual. No nativity scene or looming Christmas tree this year in Manger Square. A senior Egyptian official and a European diplomat both say that Egypt has come up with a plan for ending the Gaza War. The plan reportedly calls for, among other things, a phased ceasefire. Afghan schoolgirls are weeping as they finish up the sixth grade, knowing their education is over. Under Taliban rule, it's unlikely they will ever set foot in a classroom again. Quiet day on Wall Street, very quiet. Financial markets closed in observance of Christmas. Tomorrow, it's back to business as usual for Wall Street's traders. More details, srnnews.com.
Conservative Theological University has provided biblical theological education for God's pastors, evangelists, missionaries, and Christian educators since 1982. CTU would be delighted to assist you in your Bible studies. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Leave your contact info today at 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast. As we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale, please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today that I believe is fitting for the era in which we're living and the time that we're living in today. As we celebrate the Christmas season, I believe it's vital that we ask the question and probe deeply and broadly the question, who is Jesus Christ? Who is he? Who is the one that in the announcement to the shepherds as they were watching their flock by night said that it is good news that will bring great joy to all men? Is that really what we see taking place today as we celebrate Christmas? I pray that that is the case in your home. We have our special guest today, Congressman Mike Hill, former District 1 representative for the state of Florida. Congressman, we're delighted again that you're with us. Let me ask you a very probing, deep question. Multitudes today, even as Christians, want to mitigate against or out and out reject the virgin birth. What would it be? Who would Jesus be? Or would we have a Jesus Christ at all were it not for the virgin birth? Explain to our listeners briefly why the virgin birth is so vital as we celebrate Christmas.
Dr. Youngblood, it had to be a virgin birth for 2 reasons. One, to satisfy prophecy. In the book of Isaiah, where we had Isaiah came to King Ahaz and said, look, these Assyrians who are surrounding you right now, Jerusalem, and are going to destroy it. It is not going to happen. And ask the Lord for a sign to prove that it will not happen. And King Ahaz says, I'm not going to ask him for a sign. No, I'm not going to do that. Then Isaiah spoke and said, I will give you a sign. A virgin will give birth to a man, and he will be the savior of the world. Well, when he made that proclamation, it was 730 years before the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. And so to satisfy prophecy, Jesus had to be born of a virgin. But the other reason, which validates who he is, but the other reason is because man being tainted by sin. Another man, any other man other than God, could not have been the seed that Mary was going to carry, because that seed would have been tainted by sin. It had to come from God himself. And as the archangel Gabriel pronounced to Mary when he said, you are going to have a child. Behold, you are highly favored. You will have a child. And Mary said, well, how can that be, saying, I've never been with a man? And the angel responded and said, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and that seed is going to be holy. So it was God himself who planted himself in Mary, and she carried that seed through its process of growing and becoming a baby in her womb and then being born. And so that means that then Jesus being born was holy. It was not tainted by sin at all. That's why it had to be a virgin birth, so that God himself would not be tainted by man, that Mary had not been tainted by another man who had touched her before Jesus was born. So prophecy had to be fulfilled. Mary had to be a virgin. She had to be untainted. And then the Holy One came from that union with God and Mary.
Congressman, you're spot on, and I'm thankful for your stand theologically, doctrinally, and biblically. Now, I'm going to mix the waters up just a little bit, but when the prophecy is given in Isaiah 7:14, that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. It is the word Alma, A-L-M-A-H, in the Hebrew text, which simply means young maiden. So multitudes, and I've dealt with them down through the years, multitudes of the liberal theologians, liberal-minded, liberal-trained pastors, will mitigate against the virgin birth in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 and following, and say that's simply saying a young maiden has nothing to do with anything beyond that. Well, so that enigma could be erased, God in his sovereign purpose used the word parthenos in the Greek text for the virgin. The word parthenos means a young maiden never having had sexual relationship. So that it can be clear in the Word of God that the Virgin Mary, never having sex with Joseph, that's the reason Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 and following, was kind of agitated and in a state of wonderment. What should I do? Should I do as culture calls and have her stoned to death? He was pondering that when he was told that she would have a son, and his name would be Jesus, and he would save his people from their sins. And Joseph was satisfied with God's answer. But the point that I make in my brief rambling is that it is clear in the Scripture. God's Word is marvelous. It is wonderful. It is fascinating. God's Word gives us words that carry the depth and the breadth of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. There can be no misunderstanding. so that virgin birth was necessary. In fact, Congressman Hill, one of the things that I used as a proof text back in 1984, when I had the privilege of authoring and publishing a book entitled Could Jesus Sin, I used Acts chapter 20, verse 28. In Acts 20, 28, it says, and I'm going to paraphrase, when Jesus hung on the cross, it was God's blood that was shed. God's blood. If it's Jesus and Jesus is not virgin born, he would not have been divine. And yet the scripture says, when you study the whole of scripture, Jesus had no sin, did no sin, and could do no sin. He was sinless. The term that is used is he was impeccable, impossible for him to sin whatsoever. And I believe that it's necessary for our listeners today to understand we serve a mighty God. We serve an amazing God. And as we recognize who Jesus Christ is, it should cause us to celebrate with great joy, realizing that it is good news. Congressman, I'm going to change gears a moment because we have a holiday that multitudes celebrate today that is a fake holiday. It is called Kwanzaa. And there's a great division in America today over that celebration of that holiday. I've done tons of research down through the years on that subject. And I want you to address that for a moment. We're finding it's bad enough with some that we found with race division, but it even exacerbates that division when there are a number of Christians that will choose to celebrate Kwanzaa rather than celebrating Christmas because their approach is saying, well, that Kwanzaa is for the black Christian and Christmas is for the white man's Christmas. What do you say to that juxtaposition of false teaching out there that's being consumed by so many?
It is utter nonsense, Dr. Youngblood. And you're right, it started in the mid-60s. And it was an idea that was fomented by communists who wanted to see another way of dividing this nation, dividing it racially. And so they came up with this made-up, nonsensical holiday, which they simply pulled parts of this religion, parts of this tradition, parts of this and that, and they came up and they tried to call it Kwanzaa, whatever that means. I mean, it's an African name that they made up, that they said, okay, this is going to be our holiday now because Christmas is the white man's holiday, which is stupid. And the reason it's so stupid is because Christianity was, of course, started there in Jerusalem by the followers of Jesus who were Jewish, who were Middle Eastern, not white Europeans.
That's right.
It doesn't matter anyway. Christianity is a religion for all people. Jesus came to take away the sins of the world, of all people, that whosoever believes. So this idea that Kwanzaa is our Christmas and they can have their Christmas is utter nonsense, it's foolishness, and anyone who falls for it is foolish. And we find that even those on the left, white people on the left, want to acknowledge and be a part of and help celebrate Kwanzaa when they don't even know what it means. And it's just ignorance on their part to even fall for it. And I'll go so far as to say this, Dr. Youngblood. Most people don't know what Hanukkah means or what it was all about. And so when this holy season comes upon us in the month of December, there are so many who will say, Happy Hanukkah, thinking that it's the Jews celebrating Christmas in their way. No, it's not.
Right.
But it's simply out of ignorance that they would fall for that. And it's the same thing with this Kwanzaa nonsense. There is no white man's Christianity. It's for all people. The color of your skin has nothing to do with it. What continent you were born on has nothing to do with it. It's your acceptance of our Savior to take away your sins because you can't do it yourself.
Amen. I'm looking at a headline, Congressman. Kwanzaa is a bogus holiday made up by a jealous racist. It's a holiday that didn't exist prior to 1966 and was never fully mentioned in any popular culture until the early 1990s. It was invented by a Dr. Karenja, K-R-E-N-J-A, Karenja, and that wasn't even his full name. Dr. Ron, as he liked to be called. That's right, not his real name. Said the long and short is he felt blacks were left out of the religious celebrations during Christmas and out of the celebrations in for Hanukkah year after year under the guise of Christmas has been too commercialized, he said then. He created the non-religious holiday of Kwanzaa for black community, for the world, and it's a fake holiday. Another headline says, Kwanzaa was a holiday brought to you by the FBI, and it's a large article. It goes into detail about how the FBI used that man, as they call it, an FBI stooge, in his development of Kwanzaa in order to divide the Black Panthers, the liberal groups that were in the world and that in America at that time, with the multicultural gibberish, the article says, and have forgotten the real history of Kwanzaa and the one that really started it. Massive article.
That's right.
But it goes into details about the Marxist communist person that started it to promulgate racial division in America. In fact, in my research of that subject, Congressman Hill, even the terms it's used and the so-called tribes it's named and the outfits that's costumes it's used have no rational reason or fundamental foundation with anything on the continent of Africa or any tribe out of the continent of Africa. And yet multitudes today believe that somehow, some way, that's an honorable thing. And so the reason I bring it up is to encourage our listeners, especially as we're speaking to a major Christian audience, don't be deceived in believing that somehow, some way, Kwanzaa is a holiday the same as Christmas that is mollifying, nullifying, and destroying the reason for the season that we call Christmas. So I'm urging all of our listeners, do not, I beg you, do not honor Satan and dishonor God by celebrating a false, phony, fake holiday called Kwanzaa. I believe, Congressman Hill, it is something that would be detrimental to a Christian testimony to celebrate such a holiday, knowing the reason behind it. So I encourage our listeners, don't be fooled by it. Congressman Hill, I'm looking at a headline article from Matt Staver, Liberty Council, called Defending Christmas. Said, believe it or not, the district, this is a school district, had decreed that the color green could be permitted if it was about the Ouroboros. But since red and green are traditional Christmas colors, they're not inclusive and they're not permitted. It is in Wisconsin. The city administrator and deputy city administrator sent an email banning city employees from using religious decorations that are associated with Christmas. How do you respond to what we see happening? In fact, a book was written on that subject years ago called War on Christmas. How do you respond to what we see happening when there are cities and municipalities that will set guidelines and rules that prevent Christians from celebrating Christmas as is honorable to God? What should Christians do? Should they bow? Should they bend? What should we do as a Christian community?
Christians should ignore such false decrees that come down like that. and go ahead and promote Christmas, promote their Christianity in the face of persecution. And Jesus told us, don't be surprised when the world persecutes you for my sake. They hated me, they're going to hate you also. And here in America, we've become so soft as Christians that we think the idea of I might lose my job is persecution that I do not want to accept. And so they will hide their Christianity. Mm-hmm. And when we have Christians in the world today, Dr. Youngblood, who are being killed for their testimony of being Christians and not wanting to back down from proclaiming that Jesus is their Lord. And so we have this nonsense in our big cities, as I said, who are being led by immoral, irreligious people right now. And we look at Minneapolis, where I think that one of those decrees came from about not using those colors.
Yes.
That is a city that has become predominantly Muslim. And that is because Barack Obama imported a lot of them from Somalia and other Muslim nations around the world and congregated them in Minneapolis, in Dearborn, Michigan, and in other cities in the U.S. to where they are now the majority, where they are electing council members and mayors who are Muslims and who are now demanding that you no longer practice your Christianity. That should be denounced. It should be decried. It should be denied. And instead, you openly declare that you are a Christian. And if persecution comes, so be it. But what did Jesus say with the Beatitudes? Rejoice and be exceedingly glad when they persecute you for his name's sake, because Amen. That is how they treated the prophets, and great will be your reward.
Amen. Congressman, you mentioned that, and we were talking about that case with Matt Staver and Liberty Council about that decision for the city. Perhaps you're aware of it. It just came out, I believe, yesterday, the day before yesterday, as far as the news. Wisconsin has developed a brand-new state flag. Have you seen that?
I have. That
state flag looks almost identical to the, quote, Palestinian flag. And that goes back to the root of what you just said, where it is such a dominant Somalian Islamic culture there. They've now left the old flag and developed a new flag, which symbolizes the nature, as I would call it, and the content of the state of Wisconsin being almost dominated by the Somalian Islamics. I'm concerned where we see that going. But when we think about Christmas and the celebration of Christmas and what we need to do, I just said we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, not be deceived by what's happening around us. Don't be deceived by any fake holidays. Don't be deceived by what others may say with the cities and counties and states and so forth trying to diminish the truth of Christmas. I'm looking at an article. I'll touch on it, then ask you to elaborate. Says, why do we celebrate Christmas? Number one, we celebrate Christmas because an angel said the birth of Jesus is good news. Explain that. I think our listeners may, for the most part, understand it. But explain why the announcement of the birth of Jesus should be good news to the whole world.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, that angel announced to the shepherds, behold, I bring you tidings, greetings of great joy, because born unto you today is a Savior. It is good news. We should celebrate the fact that he said, peace on earth. In other words, he was saying, God is declaring, look, mankind, you and I are not at war. Mm-hmm. It's not between you and us. There is peace between you and us.
Hey,
and I am going to give you a way now that you have access to me through my son, through me. When you call upon the name of Jesus, it takes you right into God's throne room. and God made access to man on the cross when the heart of man turned from stone to flesh, when Jesus said, "It is finished." And because man's heart changed from stone to flesh, the veil in the temple was torn in two, which separated the Most Holy One from man. God could now come into man's heart, live with him, and sup with him, and walk and talk with him.
Amen.
That was all done by God. That is good news.
Amen.
That you do not have to be in bondage to your sin. People know, those who haven't even accepted Jesus, they know there is something wrong inside of them. Why do I do what I do? There's something wrong here. Well, God will save you from that. Even if you continue to do something wrong, he has saved you from it. He has forgiven you from it, and you can now have peace and fellowship with him. All you have to do is accept it. That's why it is great joy, tidings of great joy. That's why it's good news.
Amen. That'll preach. I pray that our listeners are understanding, as we celebrate Christmas, there's a reason for the season, and that's Jesus. And we celebrate Christmas, Congressman Hill, by giving and receiving gifts. We celebrate Christmas by decorating a beautiful tree, calling it the Christmas tree. So I've got a twofold question. Because there are some Christians that say we ought not to have a Christmas tree, that the tree is a symbol of paganism, therefore the Christmas tree ought not to be the focus or ought not to be in Christmas. And secondly, there's a whole group of Christians and others in general that disagree with the fact of giving and receiving gifts at Christmas time. Identify what you see in those two arguments, and is there a valid foundation for either?
No, there is not, Dr. Youngblood. Those who say we shouldn't have a Christmas tree is because they take on the idea of the Druids, who worship trees. They worship nature instead of the one who created nature, God himself. And they're saying this is a form of paganism, of putting the tree there. It's like the Druids who worship the tree. No, that is not it at all. But the tree is simply a symbol of renewal. It is a symbol that we are going to bring this growth, this tree that has grown, into our home, and we're going to decorate it to make it even more beautiful. And the idea of gifts became from the original Kris Kringle, who was born into a wealthy family. He was a saint of Myra, that was at that time in what we call modern-day Turkey, and would give gifts to people until he gave away all of his wealth. And so following that example, we give gifts to each other on Christmas Day, just as God gave the gift to us, his son.
Amen.
Our way of giving and receiving, you must receive him into your life. Or just like if I give you a gift, Dr. Youngblood, and you don't open it and don't receive it, then you never did get the gift. Mm-hmm. So giving and receiving our Savior Jesus is so important.
Absolutely. Congressman, we've got about 45 seconds on the broadcast. I'm going to throw it back to you and ask you to close this broadcast, celebrating Christmas, with a challenge to our listeners about Christmas, the value of it, and what we should do this Christmas.
What I would say, Dr. Youngblood, is look to Christmas Day, which is coming very soon, with expectation and joy, and be with your families, and let it be a day of peace and joy and happiness. And those of you who don't know what that means, of how to celebrate it, simply bow your knee right now and say, "Jesus, come into my life. Show me who you are. Show me what this all means. Take away my sins that I might be a participant in this tidings of great joy." And he will in no wise cast anyone out who asks for is salvation and for that relationship with the living God.
Yes. Congressman Hill, thank you for joining us today. Merry Christmas to you and your family. And ladies and gentlemen, our audience today, Merry Christmas. We pray that this has been a blessing to you. Looking forward for us to meet again, once again, on the air as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church.